This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu reports that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kunna ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fartafa'at rihu jifatin muntina. When we detected a foul smell carried by the wind. We were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we detected a foul, bad smell carried by the wind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا هَذِهِ الرِّيحِ, that do you know what this wind is? هَذِهِ رِيحُ الَّذِينَ يَغْتَابُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is the smell of those who backbite the believers. Muhammad ibn Wasi' rahimahullah, who was a tabi'i, he used to say, لَوْ كَانَ لِلذُّنُوبِ رِيحٌ مَا جَلَسَ إِلَيَّ أَحَدٍ, that if sins had an odor, if sins had a smell, then nobody would be able to sit with me. And he was from one of the pious people, one of the early salaf. He used to say, if sins had an odor, if sins had a smell, then nobody would be able to sit with me. My brothers and sisters, each one of us can imagine how we would be smelling right now if our sins had odors. If our sins had smells, we can imagine for ourselves, nobody else, ourselves, what we would be smelling like right now and what this space would smell like right now. Sins, my brothers and sisters, have devastating impacts on our soul and our spirituality. We may never know what we are capable of, what good we are capable of, and what blessings we are missing out on due to our sins, due to our misdeeds. Most critically though, our sins bring us down in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make us more vulnerable to the attacks of shaitan. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن العبد إذا أخطأ خطيئة نكتت في قلبه نكتة سوداء. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه reported the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that verily when the servant of Allah commits a sin, a dark stain appears upon his heart. A dark stain appears upon his heart, the spiritual heart. فَإِذَا هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابَ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ. If he abandons the sin, if he abandons the sin, seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his heart will be polished. In that case, his heart will be polished. وَإِنْ عَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ. If he returns to the sin, the darkness will be increased until it overcomes the heart. The darkness, the stains will increase to the point until they overcome the heart. They take over the heart. وَهُوَ الرَّانُ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And he said that it is the covering, this is the covering, the stains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, that no, but on their hearts is a covering because of what they have earned. So my brothers and sisters, the scholars explain that how this starts is that the heart gets stained by sin. There is a spiritual effect of every single sin. Every single act of disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has multiple impacts. Right? We hurt ourselves because whatever Allah has commanded for us is good for us. Whatever prohibitions He has given, it's because they are better for us. So when we go against that and we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we harm ourselves in ways we may not even be able to perceive. That may be the physical impact. Then of course, there is the impact on society and the people around us. Because we are adding to the weight, the burden of sins in society and in our community. But then this is the spiritual impact. That the heart gets stained by the sin. And if the sin increases, then the stains grow bigger until the stains become this ran, this covering of sin and evil deeds. And then they say that it increases, it continues to increase until it becomes a seal. And the heart becomes covered and sealed. If that happens after a person has been guided and had understood, meaning this is not a new person, this is a person who was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a person who had understanding of these things, then his heart is turned upside down. His spiritual heart is turned upside down, and at that point, the shaitan gains control over him and directs him as he wants. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the abundance of sins open our heart to being hacked by shaitan. The abundance of sins, without tawbah, without repentance, without seeking forgiveness, without istighfar, and while continuing the sins, what does it do? It opens our heart to eventually being hacked by shaitan, or being vulnerable to being hacked by shaitan, because it has lost all its protection. It has become hardened, it has become stained, and those stains have overcome the heart that's flipped upside down and is open to vulnerability to be hacked by shaitan. So if we feel spiritually down, you see, we are in the 12th of Ramadan now, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us almost to the midway point of Ramadan, the 13th night tonight, inshallah. If we still feel spiritually down and unable to feel Ramadan in a spiritual sense, then this can be a potential reason that the heart has become so rusty and hardened and covered, and thus it is taking more time, more repentance, more istighfar to become softened and to become polished. The purer a heart is, the softer a heart is, the easier it will be able to grasp spirituality. The easier it will be for it to feel the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The easier it will be for it to feel this blessed month. And the harder the heart is, the more difficult it's going to be. Doesn't mean it's a lost cause. You could still do it. But it takes more effort and more time for it to soften, just like something which has become hardened over time. Our sins, my brothers and sisters, are like junk, pollution, unhealthy spiritually, and barriers to spiritual advancement and further guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are a reason of many forms of deprivation, from blessings, from rewards, from inner peace. A person can never achieve inner peace by sinning and disobeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inner peace will only come, as the scholars say, that the heart has a portion, the spiritual heart has a portion in it, which will only receive peace, which will only feel peace through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else can bring peace to that portion of the heart. So a person who achieves peace and contentment while ignoring the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while disregarding the guidance of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will never be able to feel complete peace. We should understand this. If you want inner peace and contentment in all situations, in all forms, it can only come fully and truly through the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this peace and contentment in our hearts. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us, instructs us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha, Turn to Allah in sincere repentance. Surah At-Tahrim, ayah number 8. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. O believers, turn to Allah in sincere repentance. And the word tawbah literally means to turn or to return, in the sense of turning or away from or withdrawing from sins. And in the terminology of the Quran and the Sunnah, it signifies to regret committing sins or to have remorse about committing sins in the past and to firmly resolve to abstain from them in the future. To regret or to have remorse about committing sins in the past and to firmly resolve to abstaining from them in the future. Now, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves from His servants is when they turn to Him seeking forgiveness. And isn't this beautiful? Like, it's amazing. On the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with the disobedience of His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased by the disobedience of His servants. But on the other hand, after they have disobeyed Him, and naturally none of us are perfect, everyone who is Islamically an adult, who is mature, will make mistakes, will commit sins. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed us. It's not that we should seek to commit sins, but naturally we will have shortcomings, we will fall, and we will make mistakes. This is the situation for every single person. So when that inevitably happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when His servants turn back to Him seeking forgiveness. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who are constantly repentant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are constantly repentant. So Allah knows that we are going to make mistakes. But the question is, what do we do after we have made the mistakes? What is our response to committing those sins? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates, and there's other companions who have narrated similar wordings, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that verily Allah is more pleased with the repentance of His servant. Allahu ashaddu farhan bi tawbati 'abdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more joyful, more pleased with the repentance of His servant than what? Than a person who has his camel in a waterless desert, carrying his provisions of food and drink, and it is lost. He, having lost all hopes to get that back, lies down in the shade and is disappointed about his camel, when all of a sudden he finds that camel standing before him. SubhanAllah, look how, you know, how descriptive this parable is, this example is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. You imagine yourself in a desert, you know, it could be in the Middle East, it could be Death Valley, Arizona, wherever it is, okay? And you have an animal, a camel, with your provisions on it. You have packed your water, you have packed your supplies, you have packed your food, your snacks, right? Your tent, your sleeping bag, you have everything on that animal, okay, on that camel. And camel is especially notable here because camels are known for running away like this. Camels are known for bolting if you don't tie them up, okay? So, everything is on that camel. And then, right, you turn around for a second, and next thing you know, that camel is gone. Your water is gone, there's no cell phone service, you don't have a satellite phone. You know, your water is gone, your food is gone, your provision is gone, everything's gone, okay? And you're stuck in the middle of the desert, Death Valley, okay? You're stuck, there's nothing there. And you have no hope now. What's going to happen? Who's going to find you? No one's going to come around there. Nobody goes by there in a year. You're in the middle of the desert. And you lose hope. You find shade and you just lie down and you're just like, okay, this is it. Khalas, I'm done. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, this is it. I'm going to die now because it's hot and you don't have anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, after you have all given up hope, you turn around and the camel is back and your water is back and your provision's back and now you can get out of there safely. Right? Imagine that joy and relief a person would feel, the happiness he would feel at that moment. Prophet ﷺ says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more joyful with the repentance, with your repentance, than that person. SubhanAllah. When we have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, everything becomes easy. Everything becomes easy because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving you. You have the pleasure of Allah. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una billayli wal nahar, wa ana aghfiru dhunuba jami'an, fastaghfiruni aghfir lakum. O my servants, you sin by night and day. You sin by night and day, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness from me, and I shall forgive you. So essentially what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is, look, I know you're going to make sins. You do commit sins, I know that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our designer, He's our creator. He knows we're going to commit sins. But what He's looking for is how we're going to behave and act after we commit the sin. Right? Again, it doesn't mean that we should be light on ourselves about committing sins. We should restrain ourselves. But naturally it's going to happen. And when it happens, Our response is what is key. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And all of you, believe, O believers, جَمِيعًا, together, beg Allah to forgive you so that you may be successful. So that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding all of us collectively to seek forgiveness from Him, so that we may collectively and individually achieve success. Now everyone, my brothers and sisters, has some history, has some skeletons in our closets, you know, some filth in our hearts, in our minds, some evil thoughts, some glances, some words that we spoke or heard or wrote, you know, some prayers perhaps that we missed or didn't offer properly, some sins that we have committed, major or minor. Nobody is pure and clean. Everybody has something, right? And we are sometimes, many times, we are ashamed of having that exposed. We don't want it to be exposed, because exposure would mean embarrassment in front of people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Now how should we feel about that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَن يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. That a believer sees his wrong actions as if he were sitting under a mountain which he fears will fall on him. The believer sees his sins as he were sitting under a mountain which he fears will fall on him. You know, you're in a building, you're standing under a structure or somewhere where you're afraid is going to fall on top of you. Right? That the believer sees his sins, her sins, misdeeds as that mountain, as that structure that could collapse at any minute and take that person down. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُبَابٍ مَرَّ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ. The impious person, he sees his wrong actions like flies passing over his nose. And the narrator, Abu Shihab, he says, and he does this, and he said with his hand in front of his nose. You know, you just have some flies that are bothering you, and you just go like this, right? It's insignificant, right? It's nothing serious. This is how the impious person sees their sins. So we should ask ourselves, my brothers and sisters, how do we see our misdeeds and our sins? We are all loaded up, and this can drag us down on the Day of Judgment. So this is the opportune time, the ideal time to shed that weight. You know, not just the physical weight we may be shedding in Ramadan, but the spiritual weight of the sins and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a special opportunity to wipe our souls clean, to wipe our souls clean in this month of forgiveness and mercy. You know, you can think of it as special amnesty or clemency. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling out to our souls to come back where it belongs, in the submission and the obedience of its Rabb, of its Lord. And the doors of forgiveness and mercy are still open. One day they will be closed. One day they will be closed. But for now, it is still open and we can still make it. And if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in forgiveness, seeking forgiveness and repentance, then we can become the best of the people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you have done, no matter what we have done in the past, if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its sincerity, seeking forgiveness, repenting, we can become the best of the people. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءُ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All the children of Adam are sinners, and the best among the sinners are those who repent. So it's a three-step purification process. Number one, cease and desist, stop the disobedience, number one. Number two, feel remorse, feel bad about it. Not so that it pulls you down and makes you depressed, but you feel remorse, you wish you hadn't done it, you wish you would be able to stop. Number three, you make a solid resolve that never to return to that sin, and really try your best not to go back to it. But if it so happens, then you rinse and repeat. You try the same steps once again, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still forgive you no matter how many times, even if you do it 70 times a day. You try your best, but you slip and you fail. You try again, you still slip and fail. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still forgive you. That is how great the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And fourth step, of course, if it has to do with the rights of people, then restore people's rights and their properties. I'll end with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anas radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, Allah the Almighty said, O child of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you for what you have done, and I shall not mind. O child of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. O child of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as it. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, that forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Let us not lose this opportunity in this blessed month to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of our sins, whether we recognize them or not, whether we know of them or not. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us completely on this blessed day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower us with His mercy and forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us away from our addictions and our sins and to purify our hearts, our minds, and our bodies, our actions. Allahumma ameen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته we are midway through almost midway through Ramadan I pray and I hope that all of you are taking the maximum benefit with your siyam with your qiyam with your du'as and with your deeds good deeds you know that get multiplied many 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 times by Allah سبحانه وتعالى you know, as we enjoy this Ramadan in the peace of, you know, peace of our country and our city, you know, many people around the world are having difficult time, particularly people of Gaza, people of Palestine, and people of Sudan, where Muslims are going through a very difficult time this Ramadan. Please, please remember them in your du'as, in your actions, through, you know, any civic action, through your emails and through your phone calls to the members of parliaments and other people, as well as through your financial support, and of course, dua, the most important thing. Alhamdulillah, in KMA now, this Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we are going full, you know, full capacity as last year, and we noticed that the population has grown, and the demand for our work has increased. Alhamdulillah, we can say that this little house on Sand Hill, since we established, has surpassed our expectations, our you know, of the demand that exists in the community. For the you know for the service to the community in the last 2-3 years we have expanded our work and our service and you know alhamdulillah the masjid is hustling and bustling even outside Ramadan there is activities and programs that are run in the masjid by the members of our community it's not coming people coming from outside it's people among us who are here who are you know coming together as Muslims to serve Muslims of all ages At this moment, alhamdulillah, we are covering all sections of our community in programs from a child who is newly born to a senior citizen who is, you know, who is over 65 or 60 years old. So in a short time, we have achieved a lot of work and a lot of goals that we did not imagine that we could do that. And that has only been possible with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with your help and support of this community and the talent that we have in this community. Alhamdulillah, and the dedication of people who are working in our masjid, alhamdulillah, is like beyond my belief. There's a brother who moved to Orleans, but he still comes here every day to make sure to run a daily iftar program all the way from Orleans. There are families here who are, you know, who raise their hands for everything. Anytime we ask for something, or even if we don't want to ask for something, they come up with their own ideas, and they are here. They are here constantly doing a fikr and doing the programs for our children and our community. And, you know, our children are our future, and that's where we are putting a lot of energy and effort on. And you will see a lot of programs in our masjid coming from, coming for kids and for, you know, younger people, because they are our future, and that's where we need to invest. and your support has been, has been really grateful, and have been really great in order for us to carry this program. Alhamdulillah, I can say this with a lot of humility, that at this moment of time, all the operational expenses of this masjid are covered from our revenues that we generate from our rental unit that we have, that we rent daycare and through different programs and government funding, which is not an easy thing to do, right? And all the donations that you give is going towards the construction of the masjid, which is we have been trying to do that, and alhamdulillah, in 2023 we have achieved that. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the members of this community to help us achieve that. We have received the permit, and we have now finalized the general contractor, construction manager, who is McDonald Brothers Construction. This is a company that built the masjid, the SNMC masjid. This is a company that built the extension to the school that you see across the street. And they have built many other, they're right now building a church on Green Bank Road. It's an Egyptian Coptic church that they are now construction. This is a company that has experience in building buildings like institutionals like this. And, we are now on board. We are now signing some final paperwork. And inshallah, we have, as you can see, the sign, the fence is on. Their sign is on. We'll have our own banner very soon, inshallah. And inshallah, make dua. We can plan everything we can plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the biggest of the planners. So with that, I say inshallah, please make dua that the next steps are also easier and we're able to start construction on time. Alhamdulillah, the winter has not been that bad this year, so we should be able to start sooner than we planned, inshallah. But, it's all the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are holding a groundbreaking ceremony. That is a ceremony where, as a community member, we get together and we break the ground, ideally in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even earlier, even now, until a few years ago, you could build your own house and your own masjid by your own hands. But now it requires much more technology and much more knowledge in engineering. So what we will do is we'll come to get together and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the masjid and for the construction to have successfully completed. And we'll do a small ceremonial groundbreaking. We're inviting all of you, please come together, let your friends from outside Canada come in as well. There is a registration link that we have sent. It's happening on 30th of March, which is next Saturday, which is the long weekend that most people have the days off, and we should be able to attend, inshallah. If it gets full, we will open slots on Sunday, inshallah. So if it gets full before the time, then inshallah we'll open these parts on Sunday so that we can maximize the number of people who can participate in this activity, inshallah. The donations at this moment, I think we are at about 12% of the target, inshallah. And we have some donors who are matching donation this weekend, until this weekend. And they have committed to match $27,000. So every dollar you donate, they will donate $1 until we reach $27,000, inshallah. So I'm not going to ask you to raise hand. I will just request you to go and continue to support the masjid. And inshallah, make dua for the masjid and our community to prosper and to be a God-fearing and, Allah's and abiding community, inshallah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khair, Brother Mahmoud. So, our target, inshallah, for today or this weekend, inshallah, is $200,000. We're at 120,000. So we need 80 people, 80 brothers and sisters, inshallah, who can commit to $1,000 each after tax credit. It should cost you estimated, approximately. I'm not an accountant. I don't know your financial situation, and it varies by person, by income. So approximately $640 per person, and which is $175 a day, $1.25 a day, inshallah. So today we ask you for 80 people, inshallah. Is there anyone who would like to, inshallah, contribute? Just make the intention, inshallah. You could do it on the way out. I know Brother Mahmoud said he's not going to raise hands, but I'm going to do this, inshallah. Anyone who can do that for us, inshallah, for the masjid, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to secure your sadaqa jariya, inshallah. Anyone for $1,000, inshallah. I see a child raising his hand, mashallah. Inshallah, may Allah accept the good intentions. I can't see everywhere, of course. So perhaps there are brothers and sisters who are raising their hands in their hearts, inshallah. But as Brother Mahmoud mentioned, we have a couple of generous donors, mashallah, tabarakallah, who are matching funds dollar for dollar. So, up to a grand total of 27,000, inshallah. So if you get 27 people who can donate $1,000, inshallah, then that will be multiplied by 2, right? What's 27 times 2? 54. Okay, jazakallah khair. So we'll have 54,000 that way, inshallah. And then we have, a little bit more left to make it up to the 80 for today, inshallah. So this is our request to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always bless you and accept your good deeds from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it heavy on your scale of deeds. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that sadaqatu tutfi'u al-khati'ata kama yutfi'u al-ma'u al-nar. That sadaqah extinguishes sinful deeds, extinguishes sins just as water extinguishes fire. So please let us take this opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah in all of your affairs, in your health, your wealth, your provisions, in your children, your home, your work, your good deeds, your iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always protect your future generations until the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen.